sing it. Father, we thank you for your radiant, glorious presence in our midst. As we go into your word, we ask that that radiant presence that brings light, revelation, wisdom, let it go with us. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Anoint me afresh that I will speak as I should. Indeed, as an oracle of God, then put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who will be hearing me remotely electronically, so that the word, your word, will flow freely, Father, from you, through me, to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including mine, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. Further pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed under the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, we're going to continue today the message I began last week on the humility and the ability of the mind of Christ. Last week we saw that you cannot get the ability of the mind of Christ unless you have the humility of the mind of Christ. Let's put it that's very absolute. It's actually like this, because all of us have a little bit of these things. The degree to which you have the humility of the mind of Christ is the degree to which you will be able to access and enjoy the ability of the mind of Christ. And we went into great lengths to speak about humility. I gave the illustration. I don't know if I'm going to use it again today. But basically, between your spirit and your soul, you got your will. Your will is like a door. See, the soul and the spirit are a part of the inner man. The whole inner man is soul and spirit. But it's like two rooms inside the same building. For instance, this auditorium is connected to the pastor's office behind there and my office upstairs. It's all the same building. But you know, you can have light here and darkness here. It happens also a lot of the time. You know, maybe when the fuse, you know, and there is light in here, but there will be no light in my office. It's happened before. Spiritually, it's exactly the same thing. Your soul, there is a door between your soul and your spirit. That door is your will. The degree to which that door is open, which is the degree of your humility, the degree which you're submitted to the will of God, determines the degree of the amount of light that will flow from your spirit into your soul. That is why it is possible to be a Christian, born again, spirit-filled, and not have revelation. And that's why Paul prayed that prayer for the Ephesians. They were already born again, spirit-filled. He said that, I pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of wisdom, because they didn't have it. Otherwise, they would not need to pray it. The spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 20, it says, verse 2, excuse me, it says that with the lowly is wisdom. There is a key here. The degree to which your heart is humble is the degree to which you can access revelation and the wisdom of God. It's just as simple as that. Satan, for example, has wisdom, which he had originally when God gave him. But his wisdom is now corrupted because of his pride. So he can't use it for good. He uses only for evil. But if you are going to get the wisdom of God, then you got to maintain the humility of the mind of Christ. And we defined humility as revelation knowledge. God gave this to me years ago. You know, I've never heard any other person say it that way. But it's, let me just say something here. And I say this to the glory of God. And I also say it for your benefit. You know, these things which we teach I didn't go and pick it in a book somewhere. You know, it's a question of light. And I've asked the Lord over the years, the reason why we seem to have more light is because we use a lot of the life of God. See, many places they say, oh yeah, we believe in the life of God. We just read your Bible. And you get the life of God that way, but it's the measure. But for people who put the life of God into their spirits every day with the right attitude, the attitude is very important, you know, honesty, humility, you find that extraordinary light begins to shine. That's what they said about Daniel. In the book of Daniel, we'll probably turn to that scripture later on. In Daniel chapter 5, verse 14, you know, the queen, you know, asked when the Belteshazzar, when the hand appeared, and when that silly boy was having this party and drinking wine, all the verses in Babylon is the one that came from Jerusalem that his silly head told him that he should drink from. You know, he was in a state of fear. So his grandmommy or his mom, either his mommy or his grandmother, said, look, there used to be a man when your grandfather was alive. He's still alive. He's old now. His name is Daniel. He said, light and excellent wisdom was found in him. Go and call him. He'll give you the interpretation. In the same way, you know, so humility is a very simple definition. You see, when something is big and long, it's because they don't have the correct knowledge yet. When you have correct knowledge, it's usually precise. You know, it's concise. Even yourself, your spirit, the Bible says, you know, we are made manifest in your consciences. You will know. Humility is submitting to the will of God when you don't feel like it, but it doesn't stop there. Knowing the certainty of his judgment if you disobey, that's where the fear of God comes. And the security of his mercy when you obey. So it makes you more meek and lowly in heart, and it keeps you small in your own sight relative to God. Somebody was asking me the other day, said, why are we using God? I said, the reason why is that many times you can look big relative to other men, especially when God blesses you and you become exalted. That's why when Uzziah became exalted, he said when he became strong, his heart was lifted up because he was comparing himself amongst men. And Paul warns us, he said, they that compare themselves among themselves. So don't compare yourself among yourself. Compare yourself to God. You'll always stay small. It's guaranteed. No matter how great you are, you always know God is bigger than you. And it keeps you humble and it keeps you, you know, well behaved. No matter how exalted and how much wisdom and power and glory God gives you. And that's the secret of two outstanding characters in the Bible. There are others, but two outstanding. Joseph and Daniel. Joseph was he was the most powerful and he was the richest man in that time. Yes, Pharaoh, but who gave Pharaoh the wisdom to be rich? It was Joseph. It was Joseph. But can you know something about Joseph's character? As great as and as powerful as Joseph was, Joseph stayed humble. His heart was never lifted up. He never used his power and his influence for evil. He always used it for good. His brothers, when they came, you know, and he revealed himself to them and everything, his daddy came. He looked after them and his daddy died. His brothers were afraid. They thought he was like them.
They thought he was like a natural man. That's what they thought was what natural men will do. But here was a God man. Oh, give Joseph a super clap offering. So they came to beg him. He said, we know our father is dead now. I know you wouldn't have done anything because daddy is alive. But now that daddy is gone, it's very likely you will remember. Joseph began to cry. Powerful, the most powerful man in the world. His humility is outstanding. Another clap offering for Joseph. He began to weep. He said, what are you talking about? Don't you understand that it was not you who did it? That's a man who understands I'm not wrestling with flesh and blood. Who sees beyond human beings. He said, it's not you who did it. It was God who sent me ahead to save your lives and the lives of so many people. He said, so don't worry. I will nourish you and your children. Joseph had a ministry. Unlike Moses, Joseph fulfilled the fullness of his ministry. Moses didn't finish. Moses brought them out, but he didn't take them in. Again, because of pride and anger. Should we come and take water for you? Struck the rock twice. God didn't say anything. The water still came out. That's why you should never fight the men of God. It's above your pay grade. You don't rebuke an elder. You know? And don't speak against those in authority. God will deal with them in his own way and his own time. God didn't say a word to Moses. He didn't say a word to the children of Israel. But he still rebuked Miriam and Aaron and said, why are you not afraid of my servant? He said, God will never, desecrate his leadership in the front of people. God's going to deal with this with you in private. Not your business. Too big for you. So, in private, God said, you are not going to enter the promised land. That because you did not sanctify me in the hands of the people. Moses still prayed about that thing later on. You know, when he took him to Mount Nebo, then he showed him, God is good. He saw it by revelation, but he never got it by experience. May that not be our portion. May we not see things by revelation that we never experience. That's where humility comes in very, very much. Because only by grace, it is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's why you must maintain a humble heart. Not only towards God, but even towards men. Even when men misbehave and talk evil of you, just look at them. Y'all feel sorry for them and pray for them. The Bible says the servant of the Lord must not strive, but gentle unto all men, apt to teach, in meekness. That's that word again. Instructing those that oppose themselves. You know, Megan, we want to, prove to them who we are. Don't worry, God will prove to them who you are, not you. Oh, glory to God. Joseph, what a guy. He shines in God's eyes. To me, Joseph is one of the best characters in the Old Testament, if not the best. I'm sure there are others, the Enoch, a few other guys. Yeah, but Joseph is in a class of his own. Because, you see, the difference between Joseph and the others was that many of them didn't have the power Joseph had. They didn't have the wealth. You see, the Yoruba people have a saying, Iwo niwa lamanwu ojibati owobade. Let me say it in English. My English is better than my Yoruba. But my Yoruba is very good. You see, I have the revelation, the understanding of the Yoruba. I may not be able to say it exactly. And what it means is this. Before you have money, you behave like somebody else. But when money comes, your true character comes out. You want to test a man. Don't test him when he doesn't have. The Bible says the poor uses entreaties. But the rich answer roughly. Towobade. And I tell the Yoruba people, nobody knows how to spend money like Yoruba people. The white man doesn't know anything about money. Give a Yoruba man money, then you will know. Ha, yeah, 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 yeah. We are experts at showing off. Kobale moyikbe. So that they will know. Especially, you know, I'm we're from Lagos, but really originally from Abeokuta. And my wife is from, you know, Ijebu. You know, the Ijebus, the Egbas, and the Ondos, oh God have mercy. Daddy, with due apology. Ah, I can't help all. You know, there's a good part of it, there's a bad part of it. But Joseph, with all that power, with all that wealth, he ruled Egypt. His word was life or death. If he had told them to the Egyptians to kill all those boys, they'll kill him like that. They won't even think about it twice. So they were afraid of him. He said, you don't understand. It was not you. It was God who sent me. That's a man who had spiritual insight into what was happening. He didn't just see his brothers and what they did. And you know, most of us are so petty. All we think of is what the human being said or did. Think beyond that. And what are the spiritual forces behind the human being that made him say what he did? Then fight the spiritual forces. Don't fight the human being. And he saved his brothers. And he understood his destiny. He fulfilled the fullness of his destiny. Unlike Moses. Moses brought them out, saw the land, but didn't enter in. But Joseph fulfilled everything. He brought them out of Canaan, brought them into Egypt, and transformed them from a family to a nation. Give Joseph another super clap offering. All that was done because of the humility. The humility. Of all the things Jesus said we should learn of him, that was the one he picked out. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am what? Meek and lowly now. One of the things that made God love David so much, David made mistakes, but David was very, very humble. Even when he messed up and everything, and Nathan confronted him. You know, like the other kings, you confront him, they would say, go and put him inside the jail and feed him with the bread of affliction. So we'll know he's talking to the king. Not all the other kings are alive, but not David. He smote himself. He said, a humble and a contrite heart, thou will not despise. He wept before the Lord. He thoroughly repented. And God had mercy on him. He says, if you humble yourself, he will exalt you. And he brought him back to Jerusalem, gave him back his throne. And till tomorrow, Jesus is still the son of David. Another clap offering for David. Oh, what a guy. This humility thing is the key. I've discovered it's the key to walking with God. If you're not humble, you're not going to go far with God. God will keep you afar off. If you're humble, he says, we looked at last time, I dwell in eternity and with him that is of a lowly and a contrite. He doesn't dwell with the proud, because you know, no person of the Godhead is proud. Who are you? What do you have? What have you got that God doesn't have? And God is still humble. So what's making you proud? You better humble yourself. Quick! Quick! So, these two guys, Joseph in particular, was very, very humble. Money didn't change Joseph. Money changes a lot of us. Before we get money, we entreat. Wale is laughing. But once money gone, we answer roughly. I don't have time. Now, I was joking with my pastors. I joke as I was there. I said, you have become a big man now. That means, you know, it's a big problem in Nigeria. You know, once you are just a little, not much, just a little exaltation, you can't talk to them again. They answer roughly, I was busy. Money, what did the big man, what did the senior pastor, what did busy? Stay humble. It's a test, it's a constant test. God wants, especially the more you get exalted, the more money you have, the more powerful you have, God's going to start watching your attitude towards your fellow man. You know, you can, of course, you'll be humble towards God. But how are you humble towards your driver? and your maid, those who don't have any power, how do you treat them? God will rebuke you. And all that is determining your destiny. Yes. Each point is like points. You know, when you do an exam, you have, you know, this exam, this question have 10 marks. This question, each time you do it, there's either minus or plus. Minus or plus. Minus or plus. And cumulatively, ultimately, to determine your destiny. All the guys who went far with God stayed humble in the face of success. The real test is not when you don't have success. The real test comes when you really, when God, and that's why Solomon failed woefully. He failed. I didn't say he didn't go to heaven. I believe he went to heaven because of David. You know, but God compared the guy to a flower. See God, who? The first person I heard say that thing was Pa Elton. Ah! You know, when you listen to fathers, I was asking, ah! He said, God compared Solomon to a flower whose glory fades. He said, Solomon, why would he use that? Jesus. He said, Solomon in all his glory. It shows you how in God's mind, how God valued, you know, Solomon and his nonsense. He says, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And his statement before that was that it rises in the afternoon and in the evening you put in the fire. That's the vanity of human glory. Solomon, Shah. Amen. We're going to talk about him today. We'll get there by the grace and the mercy of God in Jesus' name. Yeah. All right. So humility is submitting the will of God when you don't feel like it, especially in prayer. Knowing the certainty of his judgment. Most born again, spirit-filled New Testament Christians, they don't know that. See, what we've been taught is that if you do anything, God will forgive you. Which is true, as far as going to hell is concerned. But you must know that there is a certainty of chastening. That they don't preach it, but it's in Hebrews chapter 13. God, he says, every recompense gets a just recompense of reward. It is certain. Like when I was a younger man, I still feel young in my mind. You know, the scripture pastor was just in its heyday that time where we had lots of money and people and God told me one day, don't commit adultery. You know, young men, you know, the adrenaline and everything. I wasn't planning to, don't misunderstand me, but I'm saying, of course, the temptations were there. You know? So one day, I was in that old church office. He said to me, he said, don't commit adultery. I said, Lord, you know me now. He said, I'm just telling you. You know, I always feel very spiritual. Ah, God, of course. I know. He said, I'm just telling you. Just, you know. He said, because if you do, he said, I will forgive you. He said, forgiveness is not the issue. He said, but I will so chasten you. He said, you may not survive it. Ah, you know, when you hear that kind of a thing, everything that is doing you comes down. Pastor Agwega said, straight. Straight. See, that part is what is not taught. That's why there's no fear of God in church today. All we hear is forgiveness, which is true. But there is chastening with forgiveness. God forgave David, but he chastened him. The first day he told him, he said, you know, you commit adultery and all that. He said, you are the man. He said, but God has put away thy sin, forgiveness. He said, but certain, the sword will not depart from your house. You must know that. You know what that thing does? It keeps you from sin. By the fear of the Lord. It's sad if this thing was not taught properly. It was taught half-sidedly. I started teaching in 1999 when I started teaching on
you know, seven steps, we focus seven pillars, you know, and all that. You know, once I started teaching on perfection, 1980s, early 1990s, I said, and people didn't like it. When I go, they won't invite me again. Remember, Pastor Kwega? You know, I go there, I say, yeah. I said, the certainty of his judgment, if you disobey, you know that thing? It makes sin unattractive. Even when you feel the temptation and all of that, you don't remember. Oh, God, have mercy. And then God told me, he said, remember David. Man after my own heart, said, I chastened him. Be sure I will chasten you if you try it. Just a warning. He didn't think I was going to do it. He was just, but it's great by adventure. So when those kind of stupid thoughts come to your mind, you will just remember. And he said, you may not survive it. David survived it. But you see, you're in a better testament established upon better promises. So you're going to be beaten with more stripes. David didn't have 1 Samuel to go and read. You did. You don't try it. The other part of it is set aside of God is that, and the security of his mercy when you obey. So when you obey, when you don't feel like obeying, when it's difficult, you know that God's mercy will come and help you. So obedience now becomes attractive, and disobedience becomes unattractive. That is epignosis of the fear of God. It's the complete knowledge of it. It's not just part knowledge. Complete knowledge. And it came by light. So this is the prerequisite for getting the ability of the mind of Christ, which is what I'm going to start looking at today. I hope I finish. If I don't finish it, I'll continue next week. No problem. You know, I want you to understand that the degree to which that will is open is the degree to which light will come. And the amount of light will now determine the amount of the ability of the mind of Christ you are able to experience and exercise. One of the problems why the church has not exercised the ability of the mind of Christ to any appreciable degree up till today is because there is not sufficient humility. We are humble, but we're not humble enough. In fact, let me just tell you the truth. You know, majority of the humility that we have today in the church is false humility. We pretend to be humble so that people will say, my head is humble, but really we're not humble. Most of us are conceited. We think of ourselves more highly than we ought. And it's because of the sin nature in the soul, in the mind, the will, the emotions. And we don't realize that it's there. We've been told that you're a new creature in Christ, so you don't have any sin in you. It's not true. Yes, in your spirit, there's no sin there. But in your soul, there is. You know that. That's why the flesh, the sin nature in your soul and body is in conflict with the divine nature. That's why you need to go enter perfection and remove the sin nature. Mental sin nature deceives us, you know, because that's what it is. It's sin. It's the devil's nature. And he's a liar. So he'll come and tell you that you are humble and you're really not humble. You look humble to men. You keep quiet, but inside there's pride. And in whatever way, when people do something you don't like, you know, or something, that pride comes out. You want to know whether they're humble, tell them to sit in that place and not to sit in that place. And then the thing will come out. And they don't acknowledge me. It's always a problem in Nigeria. You go to a function, you're going to spend half the time talking, recognizing people. Because if you don't recognize somebody, it's trouble. You see the people, everybody rushing up to the MC. They will give him one name. Then another big man enters. Somebody will run. Say, and while we were talking, our father, blah, 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 blah. Because if you don't do it, you're in trouble. You won't get your contract. In our language, that means that they will hold a grudge against you. And when something else comes up later, they will remember you did not recognize them. And these same people will tell you, my humble self. It's not humility. It's false humility. even in the church. You see them, they don't wear, they're trying to, but the same people are extremely proud. Pride is not what men say it is. It's what God says it is. Humility is showing the will of God when you don't feel like it. Pride is the opposite. You don't do the will of God because you don't feel like it. Because your emotions and your feelings and what people said about you are more important than the word of God. So you get angry. And you feel insulted. A whole Olubi Johnson. I use myself as an example. You know, like Paul did. You know, when Paul would write, he would say, I use Cephas and myself, you know, as types. A whole me. I go to a place, they will recognize me. Yeah. Pastor Boyga, they did me bad. And I've been saying like that. I don't even talk about it. Except I use it as an example to preach, and I don't even tell the details. You know, many, many times I'll do things for people. I'll say, don't tell anybody. Say a word. There have been places, I've gone places where I've been, I won't use the word insulted, but I've not been recognized or honored as I should have been. And I recognize that it was actually, what they did was wrong, you know, because they should have. The Bible says, honor, give honor to whom honor is due, you know. But I don't talk about it. I won't even tell anybody about it. And I always say, God, thank you for that test. Let me see if my heart, do I get upset? If I'm still upset, I have a problem. If my emotions are still, they recognize me. You can't go far yet. God still has a lot of work. That's why God kept Joseph 2 extra years in the prison. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. You know, I want to go to ability, but God is keeping me in this humility. I want to go to ability. You bring me back again. It's because this is so important. Mercy, Lord. Brother Bimbo, put that scripture just to kind of summarize what we did last week. Hopefully we'll start this week soon. Amen. Yeah, no. The full confession, the one on self-judgment, the second one. This is not the full thing. This is just a part of it. I told you in the morning, right. Put it on. I have to use it to teach. It's all these confessions. You'll find them on the SPCC mobile app. If you on the mobile, it's a very nice app. There you see, you know, some at the bottom, you see prayers, confessions. Okay. So click on prayers and you will see. No, it's not this one. Pray for them up there. Mercy. You know, while God is having mercy on them. You know, talking about that confession, God gave it to me some years ago. It was bought by revelation. You know, and yes, this is it. You judge yourself. Then you look at, we're going to look at it in a minute, but I'll just summarize. You deal with relationship to God, relationship to those that are under you, relationship to those that are above you. God taught me. He said, you have to be humble to everybody. My wife and I, by the grace and the mercy of God, you know, our children, you know, and Tosi and William, Dara, Moe is getting married to now soon, Guziem, and Joseph. I listen to them. So they'll say, Mommy, Daddy, this is, because you see, there are some things they know and I don't know. Because of life. I'm not in America with Joshua. I'm not in London with Itunu. You know, there are things they know that I don't know. But with Moyolua, say, no, Daddy. This is how this is being done now. So I said, I didn't know. So, okay, show me, tell me. Not as if I accept everything they say, but, I listen. I've learned, and my wife and I, we've learned. Listen! You don't know everything. You are not God. And never will be. You're just getting more and more like God. But don't forget, you are never will become God. Oh, that should humble us. I was joking with Laolu and David. I said, you're not God yet. So keep your phones open. So when I call you, you answer. Then they start laughing. I said, I know you are becoming more like God, but you are not God yet. You know, the thing gets to all of our heads. Pastor Andrew said, I don't know. You know, General Overseer and Pastor Andrew. Gio. Call on Shanu Church. Now, let's look at this. Everyone say, I judge myself. Open your mouth. Turn to your neighbor. Say, if you judge yourself, then God will not have to raise people to judge you. I heard Kenneth Copeland say this many, many years ago. Kenneth Copeland has his tape series. It's old now. I'm sure it's still in their ministry. You have to probably order for it specially. Brother Emiko was the one who gave me that tape series. I just came from England and God told me to go and work with Brother Emiko. That very day, Kenneth Copeland sent us a whole truckload of books and tapes that we give permission to be able to sell and distribute in Nigeria. I remember, you know, it was that house in Agbo. No furniture, nothing. So Brother Miko said, you know, ministry. He said, Olubi. I said, sir. He said, this, you must listen to it and master it. 6 steps to excellence in ministry. The one of Ken Copeland's best series. It was preached in 1977 to Rhema Bible Training students, Bible Center students. He was called as guest minister as their commencement. It's 1977. I wasn't even born again then. Ken Copeland preached this message. And I remember in one of the messages, he talked about this humility thing, you know. And he said this. He said, if I do something that is wrong, he said, I will slap myself so that another person will not come and slap me. It never left me. So, 1982, 1981, I made some mistakes. You know, I got into a relationship I shouldn't have gotten into. And I, you know, God broke it. You know, so I had to go apologizing to people. And I did. You know, but in my room, privately, you know, I did that thing. It's good to hear the correct word of God. I slapped myself. I'm telling you the truth. I did it. I said, stupid boy. I spoke to myself. It was a stupid thing and, you know, bring disrespect to God's name. And you know, I never did that kind of nonsense again. Judge yourself, oh! Be hard on yourself. Don't condemn yourself, but judge yourself. Don't let God have to raise outsiders to come and judge you. The Yorubas, we have a lovely saying in one of our proverbs that if you don't listen at home, it is outsiders who will come and teach you. I judge myself and I condemn my wicked actions. See, I don't condemn myself, but I condemn what I did that was bad. And attitudes of omission and commission up till now. And so crucify, I didn't hear you, by the spirit, the sin nature and its lusts in my soul and body that caused them. You see, what caused me to do what I did? He said, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth. That's why we need revelation knowledge, Pastor Gwiga. We need to understand, you know, so you don't condemn yourself. You condemn the sin nature that is inside you that made you do it. And what do you do to a condemned criminal? Firing squad. You kill it. You kill it. You crucify it. That's why, but you do it by the Spirit. That's where we got this from. That's what Paul meant in Romans 8, verses 2 and 3. He said that, you know, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through, this will be paraphrased, through the sin that's in the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness, watch this, of sinful flesh and condemn sin in the flesh. It took revelation to unravel the, you know, I Kenneth Copeland too. I heard 1980, this is 43 years ago. I went to America camp meeting. Kenneth Copeland taught from Romans chapter 8, Law of the Spirit of Life in Christ Jesus. And God had begun to speak to me about some of those things in England. But Kenneth Copeland, being a senior to me spiritually, he amplified, clarified, you know, confirmed, amplified and clarified many of the things God was telling me. And this was one of the things Kenneth Copeland said. I've never forgotten it. He said that Romans 8 is just opening up to our generation. Yes! Most Christians don't understand Romans 8. That's 43 years ago. He said, then he gave kudos and gave honor to E.W. Kenyon and Papa Hagen. These are some of the guys who God, through whom God had begun to open up Romans 8. You can never understand Romans 8 if you don't understand spirit, soul, and body. If you don't understand that it's the spirit that gets born again and the sin nature is up here, you can never understand it. You keep mixing it up. You mix the spirit with the soul. You mix the soul with the spirit. And you just get into an entangled confusion mess. That's where legalism comes in from. Wear this, don't wear that, all that. That's not going to solve the sin problem. Condemn sin in the flesh. Go back to the confession. Thank you, Bimbo. The sin nature and its lust in my soul. So what I crucify is not me. I crucify, it's me, in a sense. I crucify the sin nature in me that caused it. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law. When I would do good, evil is present with me. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Or this death nature that is inside my physical body. We gave the illustration some months ago. You know, in the days of the Roman Empire, when a person kills a murderer, they would take the dead body of the person that he killed. Then they will hook it up to his own physical body on a cross, tight, so he cannot escape from what he did. So that dead body begins to putrefy. It begins to decay. And as it does, the worms that are entering it will start entering his own body and start disturbing until the man dies. Well, the Romans were terrible. They had some terrible punishments. It was that God had in mind that Paul wrote what he wrote. If you didn't come from the Roman Empire and you didn't understand, you wouldn't be able to get an insight. That's why he says, who shall deliver me? I've been shackled to this physical body that has sin nature and death inside. My spirit is alive, but my body is dead. So what do I do? What I need to do now is I can't be free from the body. I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want to die. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the life that is inside the spirit and push it inside the body and push the sin nature out. Give the Lord a clap offering. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall give life to your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. You're all screaming and shouting. You know why? You know what life is. You know what spirit is. That's why it's clear to you. The average Christian does not know what life is. So when he reads that scripture, it's blind to him. He thinks of the resurrection. Okay, yeah, when we get in the sweet by and by, the spirit of him, he's not talking about the sweet by and by, he's talking about the nasty here and now. That's what it's all about. You've got to take the life of God that is inside your spirit, and then you dominate and then clean out the sin nature in the flesh. Then you now fill the body with life, that the life of God be made manifest in your mortal flesh. I just got a tweet. When you know what that happens, then it's no longer mortal. The word mortal just means subject to death. You put the life of God in sufficient measure in your body, it will no longer be subject to death. Doesn't mean you cannot die. It just means that you control death. What I was preaching about in the Bible study. You'll live, you know, as long as you want. And even when you want to die, it'll be you and God that decide when you're going to die, like E.W. Kenyon, like Gordon Lindsay, and some, you know, the great. It's not rocket science. Great saints have done what I'm telling you. They get up in the morning. Like Gordon Lindsay is very spectacular. Gordon Lindsay, and he died early. He died in his 70s. He didn't get to 80. But he believed that God had told him he'd finished what God wanted him to do. He called all his family. He called his children, his grandchildren. He was rich. You know, God has blessed him. They had this lovely house on a lake in an estate. I can't remember where it was in America, but I read the story. You know, they had a big party. Big celebration. That's the way to go, folks. Big party. He was there. He was the one who had the party. You know, and told all his children, oh, you do this, you do this. Wife, you know, everybody, you know, told everybody what everybody was going to do. I don't think he told them he was going to die. He just had the big celebration. Then he goes to church on Sunday. He's praising God. He's like this, and he dies like that. What a way to check. Give God Lindsay a super clap offering. What a way to check. Talk about going in style. He's on the platform because he was a senior pastor and all of that. He's like this, and he just dies. I just got a tweet. You know what? He went up with the praises. For God inhabits the praises of his people. What a way to go. You can dominate death, you know. Guys have done it. You can do it. But there's a price to pay. Get back to the confession. So we crucify the sin nature and its lusts in my soul and body that cause them. I receive mercy unto eternal life to soften my heart. Remember that trap door? You know, when it's stiff, you need the life of God to soften it so that it will open. Are you listening to me? That stiffness is called stubbornness. It's called rebellion. But if you have, you see, God's, watch this. By nature, God is not stubborn. By nature, do you understand? God is humble. So if you keep putting the nature of God into your will, your own will too will become humble. I receive mercy unto eternal life to soften my heart, to enable me to repent and to be faithful, receiving wisdom and instruction, and have victory and triumph over judgment. That's not the end, though. There's another confession where it says, I submit to God, you know, then I submit to those under me, you know, then I submit to those above me. Where is it? Aha, here it is. Thank you, Pastor Andrew. It says, I submit my will. It's very important. I don't think I'm gonna get the ability today. This is humility class 2. Because if you don't pass this one, there's no point going to ability. We'll mention it and then we'll take it next week. I submit my will. Everybody say, firstly, you submit to will your will at three levels. Firstly, to God and his word through my what? Conscience. Even before you get born again, your conscience tells you what God wants you to do. With reverence. Why? Because without God, I cannot survive spiritually. If you're a spirit, you will exist eternally. But if you're not submitted to God, it will be in the lake of fire. And you don't want to do that. I want amen. If you don't submit the will of God in your life, your spirit, because you are a part of God. God took a part of himself to make man. He breathed into man the breath of life. Men who don't get born again, they do not cease to exist. In the spirit, death is not cessation of existence. You will always exist. The question is where? Because you are made in the image and likeness of God, you are too big a security risk to be allowed to be roaming throughout the universe. So all spirits, human spirits, made in the image and likeness of God, because of their potential capacity and power, they are more powerful than Satan, more powerful than Gabriel and the angels. They were not made in the image and likeness of God. We are. You have to understand that we are. The capacity of our spirits and the strength of our spirits is on the God level. If it is not properly policed, it will become a risk. It will become a danger to the rest of creation. So in order to make sure that the rest of creation is safeguarded, God will incarcerate it in the jaws of hell. That's why that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels and any stupid men that follow them. Thank you, Pastor Wiley, for that amen. I know when you talk about hell, people don't say amen. You're not going there now, so why can't you say amen? Say amen. people who are afraid maybe they are going there. That's the ones who can't say amen. If you are sure you're not going there, say amen. I submit to those, this second level, to those in authority over me, spiritual fathers and mothers, pastor, husband, parents, anybody in authority over you, with reverence. Why? Because without them, you cannot survive physically. And you cannot progress. This is not God, though. This is men. You can survive. Scripture. Honor your father and your mother. That it may be well with you. And that you will live long upon the earth. Without them, you can't survive long. Insult your father. God forbid. Insult, dishonor your mother. Either spiritual or biological. You're just cutting your life short. You see, they didn't say amen again. God forbid, bad thing. The truth. You're not going far. You want to go far? You have to. God taught me all of these things. Humble yourself. And they're not Christians. They don't understand the word of God. Humble yourself. They may not know some things you know, but there are other things they know you don't know. You know why? They were born before you. The Yorubas have been saying, they say, no matter how many new clothes a young person has, he cannot have as many rags as an elderly person. Pastor Rhoda told me one Igbo proverb, same thing. He says that what an elderly man sees when he's sitting down, he said the young man, if he climbs the tallest palm tree or iroko tree, can't see it. It's a different in experience. That's an Igbo. Yeah, same thing. Different words, but the same interpretation. They're saying that there's something about age and experience and years. You can't buy it with money. And what can make the difference in your life between life and death? Maybe because your daddy just say, don't do that. How do you, does he know? It's because he's older than you. And he has been on earth longer than you. He may not have Holy Ghost like you, but there are certain things he knows. You know why? You were not here in 1940. They were. And they have seen things that you have never seen. So when they say, really? In our language, John is, take it easy. They have had experiences. I said, this person, Esharafun. I learned when my parents were still alive. I learned to listen to them. Not everything. They didn't know everything. But, you know, the issue is reverence. Just have the right heart. God will show you when they're telling you something that's of vital importance. How many people remember Jethro? You know why God told me? He said they'll be saying scripture, scripture, scripture. Jethro was not born again. He didn't have Holy Ghost. Moses was the leader of the Israelites. He had the Holy Spirit. Jethro was just an ordinary chief in Midian, but he was his father-in-law. And Moses was there ruling the people every day, you know. They had come out of Egypt, you know. The people, everybody had problem come to Moses. His father-in-law calls him to the side. Omakuo,
I said it in our language deliberately. You will die, oh. If you continue like this. He said, you will wear yourself out. He said, seek out men of wisdom. Small things, let them give to them. Then any important thing that they can also they bring to you so you can rest. Moses took the advice. And God confirmed it. And gave him captains over tens, captains over hundreds, and captains over thousands. It didn't come from a spirit-filled man. It came from a man who had had experience. Honor your father and your mother. That's why I thank God, Sister Sholakwe, bringing Daddy here today. You know, she's honoring her father. Honor them. Honor them. You want to live long? I maybe want to live long, yeah. Honor your father and your mother. My maternal grandmother, she was a Muslim. Though I believe maybe the Lord got across to her before she died. You know, I don't know, but I believe that because she was a very good woman. You know, in the heart, at the heart level. So, I remember I used to go and see her. I just came back from England, you know, even before I traveled, you know. I used to make it a point of you to go and see my grandmother because she loved all her grandchildren, really, you know, and she was always delighted when you came to see her, you know, very delighted. So I would take the car and I'm going to go out with my friends and all that. I said, Mallory Mama. So I would go and spend at least an hour with her. She would talk and, you know how old women she will, but she was happy to see me, you know. Then she would tell me something. My grandmother, Muslim. You know what she would tell me? She said, Olubi, my yaju sagba o. Ko sen ton yaju sagba to won da fun. I'll translate. Olubi, don't be rude to elderly people. For there is no one who is rude to elderly people that it turns out well for. I held it. There's something about age. Honor your father and your mother. Because without them, number one, you won't survive physically. That is, you're not going to live very long. Number two, even if while you are still around, there are a lot of things that won't work out for you. You know why? God resists the proud. It's God himself who will resist you. Honor your parents. Both spiritual and biological. See, there's some of you, you know, and some of the young people today, you know, we've been born again longer than you. We have seen all kinds of things. So you see something, I get getting excited. I think we saw 20 years ago. We know where it came from. We know how it ended. Then we tell you, don't do that. Say, no, it's a new move of God. Which new move? There is nothing new under the sun. You better listen. Number three. See, three levels at which you submit. I don't know, but this is humility. We did 101 last week. This is 102. Both of them are compulsory courses. You don't pass them. You don't move to ability of mind of Christ 101. You're not moving to that. Thirdly. To those I am in authority over, that's flock, your pastors, your saints, wife, children, servants, with meekness. Without them, you may survive, but you will not progress. And look at the different levels. With God, it is spiritual survival. With those in authority over you, it's physical survival and progress. With those under you is spiritual and physical progress. A proud person is not going to go very far because no man is an island. You will always need to hear from people. Always. God will not give you a mono. Even if you are wise, he will always leave something that somebody else. It was one small girl who was taken captive from Israel.
that had the healing of Naaman in her hands. A whole head of state, secretary of state, secretary of defense of Syria. Yeah, oh, that my Lord will go to the prophet in Samaria and that he will heal him of his leprosy. She didn't even say it to Naaman, she said it to the wife. The wife now told him, "Say, ah, okay, let's go." Humble man. And that person will say, "Emi lo npe lepa." You know how stupid people can be. Eh? Mine was a leper. We don't like hearing the truth. Eh? Ope oko ge ni lepa. Nule ito tinjeon. I'm going to translate that. You know, in our language, you know, people will say, you know, such a girl, people, you know, a proud man will say, "Is it me she's calling a leper?" Eh? The husband of your madam, you are calling him a leper. Is that not too big for your man? The man is a leper. We, you know, proud people don't like to hear the truth. He was a leper. He was a leper. And the girl only had one thing in her heart to help him. His salvation was in her hand. And because he listened, he eventually got healed. That messenger in your office, that house girl, that driver, that person that is under you may have the solution to your problem by just a little word that they may say. Listen. Don't be so proud. Ah! Like Nabal. I remember Nabal. That's the husband of Abigail. One horrible guy like this. You know? You know what his servant said? When the mistress came back, when Abigail came back, they said, "Look, they look at the way our master spoke to David and his men. He said, these people looked after us when we were in the wilderness. They were a wall to us in the night and all of that. He said, but you know him." He said, "A man cannot talk to him." The servants could not talk to Nabal. If he did not have a listening wife like Abigail, the whole family would have perished. Don't be a Nabal, though. That the people under you can't talk to you. So, I feel, okay, listen. Even if they are saying nonsense, and many times they do say nonsense, take the sense and leave the non. You know, nonsense has sense inside. It's nonsense. So don't throw away the whole nonsense. Do you understand? So in this nonsense, they are saying, take the sense and then leave the non. Don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. It's always a mistake. I've learned that. I may even be angry and all of that, but I always listen. Even if I'm angry, I'll just listen. Then when I go in my quiet something, I'll say, "Lord, is there any sense in what this person is saying? Yes, show me." That's humility. Now I told you, I don't think we're going to get to... What's the next thing after this? I think that's about it. When what they say is in line with the word and will of God, not anything that they say, but when what they say is in line with the will and will of God, and it's inconvenient for your pride, and all of us have pride, anybody who says he's not proud is a fool. If you have not entered perfection yet, the sin nature is in your soul. There's still some element of pride there. It may not be much. It may be lower than what it used to be. And recognize it when it's there. For my pride and feelings, making me lower than I think or know I am. You know, sometimes you think you are more high than what you are. Then sometimes you actually know. Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was God. But the will of God for salvation of man required him to become a man, making him lower than what he knew he was. And he didn't do it for 2 weeks. He did it for 33 years. By the time Jesus was 12, he knew who he was. By the time he was 12, he said, "Don't you know I should be about my Father's business?" But he didn't carry that arrogance around. The Bible says he went with his parents and he was subject unto them. "Jesus, go and bring the wood from Uncle Jeremiah's house." "Yes, sir." "Jesus, finish that table. You must be ready for tomorrow to deliver to Grandma Ruth." "Yes, sir." "Hey, Jesus." "Was in Russian here." All those years. All those years. Amongst his mates in the rabbi in the synagogue and all of that, you know, make fun of him, poke at him. You know, children will be children. Nothing has changed. Just keep going quiet. You won't get up in the class and say, you people don't know who I am. Oh, you these silly children. I will show you. I am Messiah." Never. Submit to the will of God. All those years. I'm sure when we get to heaven, you know, it's going to be interesting to see some of Jesus' contemporaries who grew up with him in Nazareth and what they would have to say about him. His brothers, James, Jude, his sisters. I'll be very interested to hear what they had to say about him. How did he behave? How did he, you know, react in certain situations? I don't need to know. I know in principle, I don't know in detail. That's why I say it would be interesting. I can imagine, you know, maybe they go to Feast of Pentecost or Feast of Passover in Jerusalem and with all the children and everybody. You know how children are. This one will be doing this. This one will be saying this. This one will be saying that. He, senior brother, firstborn, you know, I can just imagine him. He'll just be looking at him. "You can have it. Leave it for them." Meek, lowly in heart. He hasn't changed. Still the same till today. Still the same. And you are, we must imbibe. And the only way to come like this is to put his nature inside you. That's why you need to pray with the life of God. You can't do it gra-gra wrong. It is not of him that run away, not the gra-gra. It is the nature of God that will make you like God. That's the purpose of it. What is the life of God? It is the thing that is inside God that makes God God. For as the Father has life in himself, so it is that life that the Father, that you now put, and you put it into your will, you put it into your mind, you put it into your emotions, and you know what? Lo and behold, your mind, your will, your emotions become more like God. So you just start thinking like God, acting like God, talking like God. I don't know if I've helped anybody here. Making me lower than I think or know I am. Oh my goodness, I got to stop. So we will do our ability. Thank you, Pastor Joey. There's a part of that confession. I'm not finished. Say, I esteem. I shall know her. Pastor Andrew's like, "Bambi." I esteem my colleagues as better than myself. That's a tall order for the natural man. Natural men don't think like that. And maintain an attitude. I would say maintain. I would say attain, then maintain. You know, you can attain and lose. That's why you need to, the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. It's not enough just to know the right thing. Or even do it. You have to maintain it. Paul said that thing. He said, you know, think of yourself. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. You know, think of others. It's in Philippians. You know, that you should esteem others as better than yourself. Now, they may not be better than you. But what he means is that treat them with honor. That's what it means.
Treat them with honor and respect as if they were better. Treat them with honor. That's the bottom line. You see, you can't understand love and the divine attributes if you do not understand the Trinity and that God is three persons. See, God cannot be love and one person. Love is relational. So it has to do with more than one person. And the thing about God is that that's how God is. Each person of the Godhead esteems the other as better than themselves. They're not better, but they honor each other. And now God is saying that now you are in the body of Christ, you have to honor your brother and your sister and the people around you. Honor them properly. Honor them. Esteem your colleagues, you know, at least those who are on your level, you know, as higher than yourself. And maintain and add your reverence to those who are above. And then meekness to those who are below you. As well as towards all men, even the people who are not Christians. Even when you think or know, you are right and they are wrong. This is where the big test comes. You know, sometimes you know you are right. So the love does not insist on its own right. I know I'm right, but why get into an argument? So just leave it. There are a lot of things you should let go. You're right anyway. So there's no point pushing it in their face. And after some time, they will realize you are right. In the recent years, we got to stop. In recent years, you know, when I say recent years, just, you know, recent years really, you know, a lot of some friends, people I've had relationships with over the years. I've been in this Christian thing now for 43 years, 44, 1979. And I've had friends and acquaintances over the years. Some people have, said evil about me, you know, said, oh, I'm the devil. They said groaning. Can you imagine, Pastor? They said groaning was the devil. Yeah, it's true. It's a true story. You know, some people said life scripture was the devil. But that doesn't surprise me. They said Jesus was the devil. So, you know. And after many years, some of those people have come to see that they were wrong. And that I'm right. I've never gone to any of them and said, you see, no, I told you. I don't even talk about it. I just relate to them as if it never happened. I don't bring it up. If they ask me, I could, you know, talk, but they don't ask. If they don't ask me, I just leave it. And then you just, you know, and some of them, you know, are in trouble because they didn't do certain things that we told them to do 10 years, 15, 20 years ago, and things are going something. You know what I do? I pray for them. I'm honest. It gives me no joy to see somebody falling or being injured because they were wrong. Then you go to and stick in their face and say, hey, you see, I told you. See, all the things are happening to you now. If you had listened to us, it may be true, but it's not kind. And love endures long and is patient and kind. So what do? Just be silent on that. And pray for them that God will help them. And if they come to you for help and they say, oh, can I do? I say, sure. Have this. Yes, do this. Then relate as if, you know, those are the tests. Stand to your feet. We got to go. This is humility 102. We thought we were going to, but I didn't even get to ability. You see how these foundations are necessary? This conference is supposed to be a summary of what we did last week. It now became the main message. Because brethren, imbibe the Christ nature and character. That's what Jesus tells his disciples. He said, you do not know what spirit you are of. There are many of us God can't trust with power. You get power, you will kill everybody except me.
I'm serious. God can't give a lot of us power. Kenneth Copeland again, he was preaching about this many years ago. He said, imagine giving this guy the power to move a mountain. The Bible says, sleep to the mountain and he will go into the sea. Then the guy is driving from home to going to Osongo. And then one downfall just, or Okada guy, just crosses in front of the guy. Well, the guy just goes into the sea immediately. Imagine how many Okada drivers you would have killed. Because the character and the nature of Christ has not yet mastered your emotions. Or else, your attitude to that Okada guy should be, God have mercy on him. Help him. I always tell my drivers, you know, I'm driving home. When the old guy is driving, I'll say, Solomon, or whoever is driving, I say, Suru. I always tell them, I tell my drivers, Suru means patience in Yoruba. I say, Suru. I need Suru don't cause accidents. I said, Suru. In our language, that means, you know, he wants to prove to you he can drive better. So he's doing all this gra-gra. You know, don't try and show him. I know you are a better driver than him. But don't try and show him. Let him go. After a while, that will become your nature. I drive myself. I drive every day. Not every day, every week. I make sure because I try to keep, you know, fit and alert. You know, I'm driving. And I see somebody, I saw going to cut in front of me. I just wait. Let him go. Let him take his wahala and go. So if you hit his car or he hits your car or something happens, it's you who's going to pay. You know why? You are the richer one. You're the pastor, look at everybody knows, and he will dobale for you three times and say, oh, guys, eshanumi. So he won't allow to my somewhere. So let him go. That's a good place to end the message. Pastor Wale is shaking his head. I remember, you know, many years ago, 15, 20 years ago, you know, when we used to, you know, when the children were still in school in England. So we had to go to England quite a bit. Pastor Wally always went with me. We would rent a car, you know, to drive, you know. You know, and sometimes, you know, you're in the traffic and all of that. And this guy was there. So I said, Wally, you're not in Nigeria. I said, in London, they will let you go. And truly, you know, they don't have the Holy Ghost and all that, but the ethics of Christianity has been so ingrained in the society that the average person who is not even a Christian, do you understand? He was not going to fight with you. You know, in Nigeria, you always, I'll say, Wale, it's not Nigeria. They will allow us to enter. And lo and behold, the white man will say, but if it was Lagos, God will teach us how to do it, but it's by the divine nature. Without Zoe in sufficient measure, all these things are pipe dreams. They'll just be talk. They will not become experience. But if you put the life of God in your heart, that's why you need life scriptures every day. Read your Bible, then pray a lot in tongues. That nature of Christ will become your nature. You will think like that. You will speak like that. You will act like that. Even when you are angry, you know, Jesus too got angry. And the Bible says, be angry and sin not. How many people know God's get angry? Yes. So even sometimes I get angry. I still get angry till now. There's no point. There's no problem. But I don't sin. I endeavor not to sin. You know? And if I do sin, I quickly repent. You know, but I hardly ever these days. You know, when you are angry and they do something really bad and you really want to deal with them, you will remember, let not the sun go down upon your own. Scripture, Pastor Gene. You will remember that they are but dust. That's how God looks at us. He says, for many a time, he will stir up his anger. But then he will remember that they are but dust.
And he will repent of the, you know, the punishment, the reaction. He wanted. He would want, you know, it almost remove. Let that go. They have tempted me this 10 times. Move. I will consume them once. I'll make a great nation out of you, so I'll keep my word to Abraham. That's Willoughby Johnson paraphrase. You move. And he was going to do it too. And he was justified.
Moses said, Lord,
if you kill these people as one, the Egyptians will say you could not take them. That's why you killed them. Eh? Lord, you are God. See, the kind of person God is. Let's give the Lord a super clap. God is a very... He said, you are God. This will be Johnson paraphrase. I'm saying it in Yoruba. Because the Yoruba is more than the English. He said, you know, you can't get angry. I know you're angry and you're justified to be angry. He said, but, you know, he said, don't do that. He said, repent of this their first anger. God. And the Bible says, and the Lord repented. Be like that. Be like that. So sometimes I get angry, then I repent of my anger. And sometimes I want to, you know, that divine nature, you know, that lion of Judah is in me too. Oh, yes, oh. It's the lion of, and lions, you know, when they're angry, they will tear you apart. He said, repent lest I tear you into pieces. It's Psalm 50. So that thing is still inside there. But, you know, we just let the lamb. The lamb nature will now subdue the. So I'm not loud. I do it with my children. Or I do it with my. I can be, you know, this Olubi is not as quiet as that. You know. Then I remember who I am. I remember who I am. And like God, for the night I pray, I repent. They are but dust. Leave it. They are but, you know, it's the sin natures. It's the human. Just let it go. In our language, that means let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. How many people agree that this was a necessary session? You can see that even though we thought we had gone far last week, it's not we went further today. You see, because without this humility thing, we're not going anywhere. Where we're going to go is very limited. That's why many of our fathers and people who have gone before us have died before their time. Because this truth was not taught. And it was not emphasized. You are not going, the degree, your attitude is going to determine your altitude. And it will be tested. God will send wonderful saints to you. I will not mention their names. I'm looking at some of them. God sent them to you to perfect you. They will anger you. They will frustrate you. They will insult you. They will misbehave, and you're still supposed to love them. That's when we know whether you are God, like God, or not. Mercy, Lord. Let's talk to God. Lord, I come to you. I can't think of a better song.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed,
renewed,
flowing from the grace that I found
in you. And Lord,
yeah.
to know
Lord, I've come to know
all
the weaknesses I see in me
will be stripped away. Again from the beginning. Lord, I come to you.
Lord, I
come. What a word.
Lord, I come to you.
Let my heart
be changed.
Renewed.
Glory. The glory
that I found in you.
Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses
I see
in me.
Will be stripped away by the power of your love.
Important important thing to God in your life is your heart. I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. My son, give me your heart. He's not talking about your spirit. Not your spirit alone. He's talking about your mind, your will, your emotion. That if God gets that, he's gotten everything. Your body will follow your will, your mind, your emotions. Your body doesn't have a choice. The real problem is the heart. And this humility, pride thing. Only by pride cometh contention. If you are in contention, pride is there. The person that is the first to say, sorry, I'm sorry, Mabinu, Joe, that's the humble person. The person that continues, that's the proud person. Only by pride. Only. And the scripture cannot be broken. Come with contention. Where is contention? Once you just leave it, it's okay. No problem. Even if you are right, just it's all right. Leave it. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. I thank you for your word this afternoon. Lord, have mercy on me. Father, I repent of attitudes and emotions of pride, arrogance, self-centeredness, self-conceit that I have had in the past. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I ask for fresh life and power as we pray now. Oh Lord, teach me more about you. So that I'll become more humble. I will have more meekness and lowliness of heart. I will stay small in my own sight relative to you. Oh God, I understand that this is the key to your heart. You said we should learn of you because you are meek and lowly in heart. Oh God! Continue to help me to be more meek and lowly in heart, so I'll have access to your wisdom and the ability of the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Tolomatu fres, Nemo shaki kofre, Lepraka shoko, Ritolo briketolo masha, Nengardolo mashto fris, Ningardeles, Frikatof. Father, thank you, Labrish. Holy Spirit, the Kamatulo. Thank you for your blood, Labrikitushka, for your life, Rakatufrinesk, for your power, Nekatufre, Nunga, in and upon our wills, Labrikitolo matufres. Our minds, la prikitofridesk. Our emotions, rikitofridesk. Our bodies, la prikitolomatufridesk. Our physical circumstances, la prikitolomatufridesk. Our regional heavenlies, rinas tufridesk. La insufficient measure, rananda katulomatufridesk. In this regard, nera tufridekomatufridesk. In Jesus' name. You need healing? Just raise your hand. One of the root causes of sickness are these things we're speaking about. Unforgiveness, holding grudges, pride, arrogance. Bible says the rottenness of the bones. The reason why a lot of people are sick, the root is in wrong attitudes towards other people. They don't forgive. They hold grudges. You know, they're unmannerly. They're rude. And the same person wants healing. Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the forces of life. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Don't let them depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, my words, are Zoe, life, unto those that find them, and medicine. But see where it starts from, the heart. If the heart is not right, life cannot flow through the flesh. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. Attitude is causing sickness. Raise that hand. Father, we release your healing power into every body, physical body, whose hands are raised right now, those that are home. Be thou made whole. We come against spirits of infirmity, spirits of pride, spirits of arrogance, spirits of unforgiveness, wrong attitudes. We cast you out. Destroy your works. Resist now. We bind you in Jesus' name. We loose the angels of God and the seven spirits of God to minister unto you so that you will receive not only healing for your heart, but healing for your body. In Jesus' name. What I've told you just now is the key. The doctors have done the research over the years. They come to this conclusion. 90% of sicknesses, if not 99, the root is wrong attitude in the heart. Pride, unforgiveness, holding grudges. And you find the same people don't want healing. Don't let anything, nobody, no human being is worth the purity of your heart. I'm going to repeat that. No human being, your wife, your children, anybody, is worth the purity of your heart. It's not worth it. Martin Luther King Jr., great civil rights activist, but he was also a pastor. Pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. I went there. Yes, go. You know, when I went to Atlanta, went to visit the place. You know, he said this. He said, because they were dealing with hatred and racial discrimination, he said this, I've never forgotten it. He said, don't let that person who is hating you bring you down to his level by you hating him back. What a word. I'm going to repeat it. He said, don't let them bring you to their level by you hating them back. That's why he taught non-violent resistance. Don't. He said, we're going, I have a book that all his speeches, you know, it's called, he said, we're going to use soul, he called it soul, it's actually spirit. We're going to use soul power to fight physical power. They would come with dogs, batons, guns, and beat the black boys, beat them, the girls, water holes, and all of that. Martin Luther said, don't fight back. And you see them singing, we shall overcome. And they overcame. Oh, a clap offering for the Lord. A clap offering for Martin Luther King Jr. He stumbled on a spiritual secret, and it led to the Civil Rights Act. He said, don't allow somebody to bring you down to your level, their level, by hating them. Once you hate them back, you've come to their level. Take the high road. Let's share the grace of fellowship. All right, you won't leave here this afternoon. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift all the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. Yes, God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to neighbor and say, you are meek and lowly in heart. Every day, you are increasing in humility so you can access the ability of the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.